Every second, over $3,000 is being spent on pornography, and over 28,000 people are viewing porn online. Sexual brokenness is devastating lives and families, both locally and globally. I'm Jonathan Daugherty, founder of Be Broken Ministries, and our mission is to heal sexual brokenness, by God's grace, one story at a time. Did you know that for every $9 donated to Be Broken, we reach over 50 people with the message of hope and freedom? Real lives are being changed for the better through this ministry. Will you help us broaden our message to even more individuals and families that are affected by pornography and sex addiction? Your gifts are tax deductible and allow us to continue providing a safe place for hurting people to heal. To make your generous year-end donation, go to BeBroken.com or call toll-free 1-800-49-PURITY. Again, that's BeBroken.com or 1-800-497-8748.
Welcome to Pure Sex Radio, training men, educating women. Are you ready to get real and start living each day in purity? This dynamic program is designed to educate, encourage, and equip listeners with the tools necessary for living a life of sexual purity. Pure Sex Radio brings you the best in mobile talk radio. Listen to real life struggles, learn how to overcome lust, pornography, and sex addiction, and get serious about purity. Your hosts for Pure Sex Radio are Jonathan Daugherty and Stephen Cervantes. Jonathan is the director of Be Broken Ministries and founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop for Men. Stephen is the founder of the Hope Counseling Center. Visit us online at puresexradio.com. And now, please welcome Jonathan and Stephen on Pure Sex Radio.
Good day, radio listeners. Welcome to this week's edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We're glad that you've decided to join us today. My name is Jonathan. I'm here with Stephen. Stephen, how you doing?
I am good. I am blessed. And I am favored of my Father.
Excellent. That is awesome. Well, I want to share with you some verses this week that might be helpful as you are continuing to pursue purity and just trying to walk in integrity. Comes from Proverbs, which, by the way, Proverbs is a great place to camp out regularly in order to gain wisdom and just really learn how to live with insight. So in Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 21, it says, "My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck. Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble." Wisdom and discretion. So wisdom and discretion. I find it interesting that, you know, he mentions the, both of those, not as if they're just complete synonyms of one another. There's a little bit of a distinction between wisdom and discretion. It's almost like, you know, wisdom is sort of knowing what to do, and discretion is applying that in the appropriate situation. But he's saying there's a promise there. If you hold on to wisdom, sound wisdom and discretion, then you'll walk on your way securely and your foot will not stumble. So hopefully that will be encouraging to you this week as you learn to walk in wisdom and discretion. So Stephen, we've got some more incredible insights that we have, that you've gathered from some of the guys from Gateway. And I just want to take a moment for some of our new listeners, or even for some of our old listeners, to remind you what Gateway to Freedom is. It's a three-day intensive that we do through our ministry for men who are struggling with sexually addictive behaviors and patterns. And so this three-day intensive, we conduct roughly 11 or 12 of them a year. Most of them are done in South Central Texas. And then we've got several that are also done up in the Pennsylvania area. And you can go to our website at gatewaymen.com www.thesexworkshop.com in order to learn about when the next upcoming workshops are. But it's amazing to see the transformation that goes that occurs in men who are part of this workshop. And then we just, you know, we're so grateful to these guys who are willing to share with us some of these insights and allow us then to share them with you, our listeners. And so, Stephen, why don't you tell us where we're going to go this week regarding some of these insights?
Well, I'll just launch into my list. Number one is this comment. I've often been intimidated by other men. I've often been intimidated by other men. And when I said that earlier, you said something like, hey, that hits too close to home.
Yeah, I can totally relate with that.
And then I responded, yeah, me too.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just throw a few thoughts about why would one man be intimidated by another man? Yeah, don't forget your thought, but I got to start with this joke, okay? How do you become a man? Just don't be a woman. I mean, that's kind of confusing, but a lot of times that's how men define manhood.
Taught, yeah.
Yeah, just don't be a woman. Don't act weak and don't cry and don't have emotions. Just don't be a woman, you'll be a man. But it's kind of an ignorant statement. And the second part is if you want to insult a man, you just call him a wimp. You call him a weak man, a non-man, a boy. And men sort of respect one another and don't call each other names. But if you do, then you tear them down and you make them not a man. And that's how you rip them apart.
And one of the ways that guys will sometimes tear down other guys is to call them a sissy or a woman. I mean, basically
yes.
Female terms
yes.
In order to say you're
not
a man.
Right. So it's funny because how does a man teach a man to be a man, or how does a boy grow up to be a man? And then I think some of this intimidation is because some men are really strong and really confident and really successful. They have a lot of stuff or a lot of titles or a lot of power. Are they really pretty or, you know, I don't know if men are handsome. I'm sorry, I said the wrong.
Right.
Men are handsome. I mean, you know, they're just, there's several ways to have power. And if you don't have all those, then you know.
But you know what I found is fascinating, though, Stephen, is as you're saying that, I'm thinking, listen, I've known a lot of successful, wealthy, pretty,
yeah,
handsome men, and I've seen some of those same men with the deepest insecurities.
Absolutely,
and they
yes.
too feel intimidated in the presence of other some other men. You know, I was thinking about this, I was, because you were asking what gets a person to think like this, what gets a guy to think, you know, that he's intimidated by another man. And you know, for me, I grew up and in many ways, I'm still very, very competitive. So, I mean, I played sports and I was an all-star basketball player. And in my mind, it got to be in my mind, especially during those basketball years, that I had to be the best of every person that was on the court. It wasn't enough just to be on the court. I had to be the best of all the guys on the court. And I think that sort of started to condition me to think, you got to be the best. And so what happens then when you come across somebody, and you always will in life,
right,
that's better than you in and anything, whether it be sports or academics or whatever.
Is that where you get intimidated then, with that word fit?
And so, well, it's interesting. I tend to be most intimidated, and I think this is true of a lot of guys. We tend to be most intimidated by those who we see that we can't outdo, or that we can't compete with. In other words, if I come across a guy who, you know, who back then would have had, you know, maybe he got better scholarships or he got bigger, you know, more scored more points or whatever, it would have been, I would have probably tried to avoid that guy because I would have been intimidated to be around him, even though I had all these accolades for my own basketball career, you know? So it's kind of like, I think we sort of, and I think part of that is natural maleness. We're competitive, you know. But if you take it to the extreme and start making it about your self-worth, your worth is tied to your performance, then you can easily be intimidated by other guys who.
So I'm intimidated by you right now as you tell the story, because you were a basketball legend in your own mind. I mean, in your high school, you were a you were a basketball legend, and you're a semi golf legend here. You're edging ever closer to making it into greatness, and you're also a website superstar. You can, you know, these podcasts are heard all over the world, you know, and so it's funny because I'll tell you when I'm intimidated. I'm a real simple guy. All my life, I've just wanted to know one thing, people and relationships and insights. And I just think it's I like laughing and having fun, and I like relationships. And I like looking at how ignorant we can all be and how we try to carry ourselves like we're all together, you know. And I was in a room full of counselors, and a lady came in and said, I went to school to learn counseling because I didn't know much about life. And so I said, hey, welcome to the club. We're all a mess. And everybody else nodded and said, yes. And one person said, well, speak for yourself. And I just laughed on the inside. We're all a mess. You know, the healthy people can admit it. You know, we're strugglers on a journey. We're not designed to have it all together in this world.
And I think that's a key thing to point out in this, because I think the intimidation factor, it has lessened greatly over the years. And part of it is because I think as you age and you get older, you know, we like to say that we're getting wiser, but I think in some ways we're getting more weary of holding up our own image.
That's a good way to put it.
And
yes.
I think for me, it really boiled down to this intimidation factor, really boiled down to lots of insecurities. For one thing, I didn't know myself. For one, I also didn't want to go into my woundedness. And so recovery really helped me a lot in being able to, in some ways, become more whole and in that sense, more secure. And when you look at me or when anybody else looks at me, I'm kind of like, really, you know, I may value your opinion, but at the end of the day, I'll probably chuckle on the inside if it's something that's trying to tear me down, because it's like, what does that matter?
Yeah, I think that's really good. You get to a place where the opinion of others doesn't matter so much. Mm-hmm. In our youth, it really matters.
Yeah.
And when we're not very secure in our identity in Christ, it really matters that others kind of prop us up. But when we know we're chosen and we're His and we're a son of the King.
And also when you begin to establish other healthy relationships.
Absolutely.
With your wife or with some friends, then you really go, listen, I have more than I could ever want or need in terms of relational stability and comfort. And so it's kind of like, what is your opinion of this person who I don't even know matter, you know?
Wow. So it reminds me of the statement, you know, can you be content? You know, do you have enough? Is your God enough? Do you have enough?
Yeah.
You know, is your wife enough? Are you enough? Or can you be content? Because if you can be content, then people can relax around you. But if you have doubts, everybody's a little nervous around you. We don't want to offend you, set you off, make you mad, make you feel like we're talking down to you, or you know what I mean, intimidate you. It's funny because I've kind of concluded a couple things here. Everybody I run into, I immediately think, one, I know you're an emotional mess. This is life, people. This is life. Nobody knows what they're doing. We're all getting by the best we can, and we're getting roughed up on the journey. So emotions are happening inside you. I know you're a mess dealing with, could be pain, grief, loss, sadness, aging. I mean, your parents aging. Come on. You're emotionally being challenged, number one. Number two, if I'm looking at a man, I'm thinking you're a sexual mess. Because I don't know any guy that got out of this clean. Everybody picked up garbage along the way. They're trying to get themselves clean of their garbage. And then I know you're broken. Mm-hmm. Somewhere on the journey, you experience some pain and suffering, and there's a broken place within you. So then I don't have to worry. We're all the same.
Right.
It just makes it a whole lot easier. Although I do have to admit, every now and then I get intimidated by wealth or looks or power,
sure,
or prestige or something, you know?
And that's when I think it's good to bring those things to mind. You know, I often say it this way in the workshop, you know, we're more alike than we are different. You know, because I think even in our broken places, a lot of people want to make their brokenness so unique that, oh, man, I'm so much different in the way I'm broken. It's like, well, no, you're not. You know, we're all broken.
That's true.
So I think those are good things to bring to mind. Like you said, when you have those moments of feeling intimidated, it's like, wait a second, he's a mess. You know,
that's right.
He's broken, that kind of thing.
Yeah, he's a struggler.
And we're more alike than we are different.
Yes.
You know?
So my second point that was brought up that I thought was good was a guy said, I really have a short temper and I can be set off pretty easily. And if I'm honest, I'm really impatient and I don't like to be irritated. And anger is very powerful. It works fast and delivers and everybody gets out of the way and sort of gives you what you want. Mm-hmm. So I think anger management is an issue we all have to be aware of.
Well, and to be perfectly honest with you, I'd like to just skip over this one because this one does hit way too close to home. You know, and you know, Elaine, if you're listening, you know, stop nodding your head right now. And I don't want to come across like I'm just this, you know, man filled with rage or anything. But I noticed that because I want to make the I want to talk a little bit about the difference between, you know, temper and maybe like a full-on anger problem. Because I kind of see them a little bit differently.
Okay.
Because I think temper is something that kind of it can flare. It can be something where you just sort of get frustrated and you know, you have a blocked goal, you know, that kind of thing. I feel like anger is almost like a tumor. I mean, it's almost anger can almost be like something that we let reside in our being, and you find somebody that's angry, and it's like it's something that they've let reside in their soul
and
just
find them.
And it's
right,
it's kind of how they operate. They always operate out of a mode of anger. Whereas a temper, you know, it's kind of these little flashes that can happen, but that doesn't necessarily define how that person engages life, and so. I would say that I used to be an angry person, meaning my whole grid from which I lived life was anger. Now,
meaning using anger. I mean, being set off pretty easily, pushing away people. You know,
or just
hiding behind.
Everything was about frustration. Everything was a cause for frustration.
Mm.
Now I feel like I've got a temper that flares up every now and then, but I don't live from a place of anger. And so I think in that respect, you're right. Everybody has to deal with anger. Everybody has to deal with the frustrations in life. But I want to encourage the listeners, there can be growth in that where I think you can still have, you know, some issues with your temper,
mm-hmm.
but not be living from a place of anger.
Yes. And I'm almost thinking you're saying irritability.
Yeah, that's probably
patience,
a good way to say it.
Patience. Yeah. I don't have much. I got a short fuse. And
I think that's a great way to explain it, yeah.
And so being angry all the time, really, it's about pushing people away and hiding, I really think. And you're very much alone if you're angry.
And I've had to discover, too, that for me, I may not be angry. I may not even, you know, feel angry. But I've noticed that sometimes my tone of even my voice can come across where people think I'm angry.
You sound intense or
short
and or something.
Elaine points this out all the time, and I'm like, well, I'm not mad. And then next thing you know, we're in an argument. I'm like, well, now I'm mad. but you know,
that's
I think,
good.
And so I think I've had, that's the area that I've really been having to work on recently is saying, okay, can I be able to say something strongly or passionately, you know, without it, the tone sounding angry. And that's kind of a hard thing to do.
I think you're right. I think when somebody's real intense, it's easy to think they're mad.
Yeah.
They don't think, oh, look how passionate he is. Oh, he's such a nice guy. He's saying that with such passion. He believes it so deeply. No, they go, ooh, he's a little intimidating. He's a little pushy out there, isn't he?
Yeah, a lot of folks think, you know, some of these preachers are yelling at people. And they would tell you, no, I'm passionate. But it comes across as being angry.
That's good. And that's good information for people out there to ask themselves, is this guy passionate about something? Or is he angry? Because we want to go to anger too fast. Mm-hmm. Number three, I'm really good at hiding. This comment was made, and it's interesting because you and I talked a few minutes before we started the program, saying, what do you mean by that? I'm really good at hiding. Because he went on to say, I always use three layers of security so I'm not caught. And so an example might be, one, I never look at my laptop when my wife's around, because I don't want her to know I look at my laptop. Number two, she can't get into my laptop because I have a password. So even if she found it, she couldn't get in. That's number two. And number three, I always wipe out all my history every time. So if she found my laptop, if she could get in, she couldn't. You know, I got three layers of security because my wife can never know that I've got a sexually secret fantasy life going on.
I want to know how tired our our listeners feel right now hearing that. Because, I mean, when you think about that, man, three layers of security on this one thing, this laptop. I mean, and now I'm speaking as one who, I mean, I did the same thing. And I'll tell you, I was exhausted.
Mm.
I mean, after years of doing that, you get exhausted because, and for one thing too, I don't believe that a person can perpetually do that because the Bible even tells us there's a principle of things eventually coming to light. And so, you know, you can be the greatest hider.
Yes.
But eventually it's like with that kind of, mm-hmm. those kind of layers, something's going to give because your mind cannot handle all of that division and
anxiety. Well, and that's what I was thinking.
Anxiety.
It's exhausting.
Yeah.
It's so much work. You have to check and recheck and ask yourself, did you? And then wonder and fear just in case. So there's a whole lot of energy being expended in the wrong area.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that occurred to me is some women will come in and say, I can tell when he's lying. I just know. You know, and it's almost like they're able to read somebody, their tone, their eye contact, their body language, what they say or what they don't say. So some guys are really easy to read, but my hunch is this guy is harder to read because he works so hard at hiding this stuff. But I think you're right. I think it makes you stunted, exhausted, divided, unable to really engage life fully because mm-hmm. you're spending half your time hiding and half the time trying to be out and normal, you know? So, number four, I have a lot of fears, and those fears drive me. So, you know, I think I've struggled with inadequacy most of my life. You know, I was growing up short, Hispanic, you know, didn't have a lot of money, you know, those kind of things. Wanted to drive nice cars because other people did, but I never did, you know. I remember thinking about the old station wagon I had to clean up for a date, you know. I was glad to do that, you know. But was I good enough, you know, was an issue. And so that would be one of the fears. Am I adequate?
And I think that's very true. I think it's very true what this person says about those fears drive me.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, you know, the child who was abandoned and all the fears that are associated with that. And what does he then do? He's like, at whatever cost, I'm going to make sure that I'm, you know, the best. I'm going to be recognized. I'm going to be approved. You know, so this is sometimes as your CEO of a company or the guy that's, you know, the
right,
best athlete
yes.
or something. And
yeah.
And so those fears and some of that pain is what ends up driving that person. Like your example of the car might be, listen, I'm so afraid of being seen as inadequate. I'll take whatever job, whatever I got to do to get that car so that I look a certain way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
can't wear certain clothes.
Right.
Got to look like I'm really with it.
And the same thing applies to this as does to the hiding. It really exhausts you, doesn't it? If you're driven by fear,
mm-hmm.
then I think eventually you're worn out. Because I've always thought fear is a great short-term motivator, but long-term it will destroy you. And it won't actually even produce what you want it to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because a lot of times people will, when they get into recovery, they're, you know, you've heard the phrase and they're scared straight.
Mm.
Yeah, for about 30 days.
Right.
And then as a long-term motivator, I don't think fear, when he's saying here that fears drive me, I think it drives him further into himself, into selfishness and into, you know, image and all those kind of things rather than driving him towards anything that's good or healthy.
Well, and I'm thinking, if you think about fears, they're like inadequacy, failing, rejection, abandonment, You know, and I think everybody has some fears.
Sure,
I mean,
yeah.
I think it's very common. But how do you manage your fears? Because really, they're just thoughts in your mind. I mean, everybody's got what they have and don't have what they don't have. But we make up a whole story in our mind, and so then we try to disprove it and act a certain
right.
way. That's really what you're talking about. Try to be more so they won't know that I feel less.
Right.
But what's interesting to me is these fears are all universal. Nobody wants to be rejected. Nobody wants to fail. And in my mind, there was this book I was reading, and the author said, men have a very thin veneer in front of them between themselves and their wife. You know, wife just pokes. She can easily poke through that veneer and set off the feeling of failure in a man.
Yeah.
And isn't that true? Doesn't that make sense?
Sure.
She might be saying, well, you didn't do this. And boom, all of a sudden you really feel like, oh, my goodness, she's saying I'm a failure. And then, you know, then you want to respond back. And so owning our own issues of failure, rejection, abandonment, we have to be mindful of those things. The next gentleman said, I need to do emotional work. I realize I've been doing escaping work, fantasy work, sexual work, inappropriate, immaturity, but I really haven't done emotional work.
Well, and I think this is true. I think this is true almost across the board with men, not just men who develop sexual addiction issues. I mean, I'm sure that you have seen this just sort of in the counseling world in general, that there are lots of men who are just emotionally detached. I like the way this was put, emotionally stunted, because I don't ever want a guy to think that he is emotionally incapable, because he is an emotional being, even if he's completely disengaged from his emotional self or just sort of numbed out. This emotionally stunted makes a lot more sense to me. Somewhere along the way, it's like those emotional nerves got seared, they got cauterized, and they stopped growing. And so he just got stuck at whatever stage that was. And a lot of times when we see a guy that's really developed a significant porn or sexual addiction, sometimes you can trace that stunting all the way back to some of the early days of when he was exposed or traumatized by pornography or sexual issues and or sexual wounds. And so you can see that, man, that's had such a powerful effect for stunting him emotionally there, which is why you might have a 50-year-old man who is emotionally 10, because
yes.
he got stunted there at that trauma or that powerful wound.
Yes. So I'm going to put 3 points together that we have. One gentleman said, I know when I was wounded and when I shut down or snapped. That's exactly what you're talking about. Some point in time when we shut the emotions down. And really, I need to be affirmed and loved to come out and know everything's okay. But I still feel scared like a boy inside. And so a man has to recognize his fears go way back. Feeling young and less developed goes way back if he hasn't done his work. And there's a point at which he could literally say, I know when I shut down my emotions. I snapped. I just turned them off.
And it's so important to get into a safe place where this is why support groups can be so helpful, to get into a safe place where you can start getting that affirmation in a healthy environment that says, listen, we know you're broken. We know you've failed in many ways, but listen, you're worth recovery. You are worth moving forward. So keep getting up.
Yes. So I want to say something, a couple real quick here. One is my wife goes off emotionally and she just keeps going. And that's overwhelming. And I think every guy can relate to that. Is that we're not as good in conversations as women are, and they can go longer. But then this last one is, my wife doesn't know me. And I thought to myself, well, most guys don't know themselves.
Mm-hmm.
How can a wife really know you if you're not working on you?
Yeah. Well, folks, this is, you know, there's lots of insights and good stuff in here. If you'd like to learn more about the Gateway to Freedom workshop, simply go to gatewaymen.com. You can learn all about the workshop, hear from alumni, guys that have gone before, as well as see when the next upcoming workshop is going to be happening. We're glad you've been with us. We look forward to having you back here again next week on the Pure Sex Radio broadcast.
God bless.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.